Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to hell and high water, and that's what we live, it seems, every day. We're living in a virtual reality hell, but we're going to cover it as best we can. You know, we're the two people that are, I guess, we're like a little virus inside this computer program that they didn't count on. So I want to introduce my friend, my co-host, my adopted son, Chuck O'Challey. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mom. You know, it is like I do feel as though we are literally the virus in the machine. And they don't know what to do with us exactly. They've attempted to suppress me, you.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. They want us quiet for some reason, you know, and it's just... I think people fail to recognize exactly how weird a combination it is.
Right. Well, you know, let's just start off with, you know, let's quote the Bible. You know, I was raised believing that the truth shall set you free. And if ever there was a time that there's a need for the truth to set the human race free, now is that time. So I intend to keep putting the truth out no matter what they throw my way.
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's hilarious. Speaking of biblical things, just last night I was going over, doing yet again another show on the hypocrisy built into Christianity at this point in time, right?
Right.
Or at least that which they tell us is Christianity. And there are a couple of voices that are starting to come out. Now, I don't mean that whole ridiculousness with Liberty University and all that and the unnamed sources that are coming forth to tell you what, big shocker, maybe one of those for-profit profiteers off of the prophecies are not necessarily being straight shooters with the public. Oh, no, nothing like that. But the reality of the hypocrisy that continues to prevail regarding somebody who is a liar continued to be used as the, what, imperfect instrument for the Lord's work and all this nonsense among the evangelicals. You know, hilariously, it's gotten to a point of theater of the absurd. Last night even, we saw, what, if you were listening live, you might have heard about Trump being in North Carolina at a rally for a special election, okay, literally discussing voter fraud at a special election that was held because his people had committed voter fraud in North Carolina.
Exactly. Well, he also said that the people were waiting outside in the rain. It wasn't raining. And he also said he had thousands of people waiting, but people shot video inside the event and it was sparsely attended. And I think he's over now 12,000 lies. And yet, you know, everybody, at least his fans, still defend him, which, you know, just tells me, you know, my mother used to say, show me your friends and I'll show you what you are.
Right. Who can count the lies any longer? And speaking of lies, you know, did we even get a follow-up on Barr and his now trying to deny the revelation of the Saudi names connected to 9/11? Because, you know, tomorrow is the anniversary, 18 years now, of not only, you know, our post 9/11 existence, but, you know, only a few weeks later, we'll be celebrating the 18th anniversary of our entrance into the war in, guess where? Right. Afghanistan, right?
Right, and the war that never ends. But, you know, listen, you know, people have short memories. You know, I feel sorry for young people born after 2001 because they don't remember a different America. And here we go, you know, the Saudis supposedly, remember, 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. So what does Trump do? Okay, he turns around and sells secretly our nuclear information to Saudi Arabia. And then he welcomes the Taliban into Camp David for 9/11. I mean, come on. So maybe this has everything to do with today's breaking story, because there's always at least five a day of him firing John Bolton via tweet.
I got to say, it's a bit of a shocker, because the agent of chaos that John Bolton is made me believe that that there was, a reason for him to be there. He was definitely pushing for the war in Iran. It seemed like that was a big deal. I don't know. Then Trump lost interest. I mean, it's like watching dogs chase wild squirrels. At this point, for them to figure out which part of the warmongering positions they want to take. And Bolton being gone, a lot of people might want to celebrate that, but I'm not so sure, because at least we knew what right. this guy's agenda was. Mm-hmm. Now, what is it, the dynamic duo of Mike Pompeo, who speaks in a monotone, this guy?
Well, the bottom line is, Trump is making it so I think he honestly believes that he doesn't need any of these people. He doesn't need a chief of staff. He doesn't need a permanent FEMA director, and that he'll do whatever he wants to do. So he wants to be totally unchecked. That was my thought. I had two thoughts simultaneously. One, I was very happy John Bolton was gone. And then that's the other thought I had. Is this guy now has nobody stopping him. Even Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, is talking about, how poorly Trump is running this country, the arguments they had. Remember when Trump announced them all? Oh, I have the best people. I have all these handsome generals. They should be in movies. They're so handsome. But one by one, they all seem to fall on their own sword.
Yes, they do. And you know what's amazing about that, Maria, is that, look, when Mad Dog Mattis was put in there, I was freaking out. And right. I'll tell you why. Look, we need to take a step back and remember a time when there was some normalcy to the circumstance here. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that Mattis should have ever been considered for that position. Okay? They had to get special dispensation to get some of the people in there, because they were too close to their retirement time as military personnel to step into civilian control of the military, okay? The Secretaries of Defense, you got a mess that is run through there that would have been alarming under any other, under any other regime, if you will, under any other administration. And yet, this continues to be like the normal merry-go-round of madness. I do not understand how it is that any portion of this country where people know how the system is supposed to function and literally does function, which are two different things, how they are not up in arms looking to have this guy replaced, removed, something, deal with it. And the funny thing is, you think about this for a minute. You actually just had the thought that John Bolton, of all people,
right,
would have been like a calming element, an adult in the room to restrain Trump?
I know. How weird is that? Well, yesterday I posted because, the Taliban, one of the spokesmen for the Taliban said that the whole setup of the meeting was bullshit, and that if they were indeed going to have a meeting, it would be held in Qatar. It wouldn't be the Taliban coming here. And they also said that they would not make a deal with this stooge administration. Now, I had to post, I actually now believe the Taliban over the president of the United States. That's what we've come to.
Yeah, there's an interesting point to be made here, and that is that regardless of what you think, and most of the people listening to us do not for a second believe the official story, regarding 9/11, which somehow tangentially does involve the Taliban, but that's just the official story. You remove the official story from the equation, the Taliban is a group of people. I'm not saying they're good. I'm not saying that they're to be celebrated. I'm telling you, they're just people that we should have left the hell alone,
mm-hmm.
right? It was their country to run. They had just survived the Soviet invasion. They did what they felt was whatever, and it's none of our damn business. Period. Far as I'm concerned. And, you know, they also did actually reduce the production of heroin coming from their own country, didn't they?
Wow.
All right. And look, in their defense, I'll put that out there. But fact is, no matter which narrative you believe regarding this, there are people in the media, oh, the terrorists should not have been allowed to be terrorists. All right. Forget all of the rhetoric and all the nonsense and all the narratives. Let me ask you a question. Okay?
Sure.
If we are talking about negotiating with the very same people that were deposed in a military action 18 years ago, and we still have to negotiate with them because they have never stopped fighting us, does this not remind you of Vietnam?
Absolutely. It's just FUBAR all over again.
Yeah, well, listen, there's less body bags than came back last time. I don't know if there's... I think there's more PTSD victims. I think there's more psychologically mutilated veterans this time than Vietnam. We haven't been able to count them. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's that. I don't know how many Afghans have been killed because they're not allowed to count the bodies over there. Meanwhile, what was achieved in this objective? The original reason, according to the official sources, was what? To go in and get Osama bin Laden because he was responsible for 9/11. The action started 3 weeks after 9/11, or almost 4 weeks after 9/11, because the first official sorties were flown, what, on October 7th, mm-hmm. I think, of 2001. Point is that 18 years later, we are about to negotiate with, allegedly, the same people that were deposed and removed from there when we made a deal with the Northern Alliance drug-dealing warlords to take Afghanistan, which was never taken. So when you have a continuous military non-objective in place, people in harm's way, and the military-industrial complex just being fed for the past 18 years mm-hmm. to maintain the war on terror,
right,
along with the illegal action in Iraq, by the way, let's not forget it.
Right, and breaking the Bank of America at the same time. Let's not leave that out.
Yeah.
That war has cost trillions of dollars.
So you take that, and you put that in context now with, we're going to have a meeting at Camp David because Trump thinks it's a good idea, and some people might have objected, and according to reports, this may be why he got rid of Bolton. You know, how many clowns do you need to cram in a car before it's not funny anymore? Mm-hmm. That's all I'm asking, because this is absolutely abject ridiculousness on a diplomatic level, on a negotiating level. I mean, just in the course of doing business. No. You know what? When I saw you post that online, you said, well, I actually believe the Taliban over the president. Of course you do, because point to me where the Taliban actually lied.
Exactly. Well, they also said something similar to the effect that they weren't going to show up for a photo op, and that Trump basically was looking for a photo op because of Jimmy Carter making the Middle East peace at Camp David when Carter was president. Trump wanted to make himself look like a hero with another useless photo op, like with his pal Kim Jong-un. And the Taliban are obviously not as dumb as Trump looks.
Well, see, there you go. But Jimmy Carter, see, here's the one exception to the trail of bad presidents in my lifetime. Jimmy Carter got handcuffed going in there. There was no way he was going to be allowed to accomplish all the things or even remotely any of the things that he wanted to of significance. However, wasn't it Sadat and maybe Menachem Begin? You know what? I'm pulling a name out of my memory here, and I'm not sure if I'm right. Isn't that who he sat down?
I'm pretty sure. But
yeah,
you know,
that's not the Taliban and the U.S., though, is it?
No, it isn't. And listen, I'm sure you saw so many veterans, so many people that are still in the service, and their social media comments on him bringing the Taliban to Camp David. You talk about bad ops. I don't know what could be worse for bad optics than that. And it would have hit on September 11th. So it's almost like Trump is laughing in our face, unless he's legitimately this stupid or this egotistical. I'm going to go with both. And, you know, veterans have a right, you know, to be angry, you know, especially people that served in those illegal wars. Remember, it was Cheney, Rumsfeld, who said, oh, it's going to be, we're going to be in and out, and with the oil we're going to get is going to pay for the war. Now, there are people that are saying this whole setup with the Taliban was Putin's hand behind it, that Putin intended to be at that meeting because he wants us out so he can go in and steal their resources. You really don't know what to believe, but it's all very believable in this crazy version of life that we've been living since 2016.
Yeah, and of course, you know, conducting diplomacy via Twitter.
Right, firing people.
Really something new, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you saw his attack on everybody from Deborah Messing to John Legend to John Legend's wife. I mean, this is what the President of the United States is concerning himself with, let alone Sharpiegate, which I think is in its seventh day now.
Yeah, I do believe you're right. I know it's a carryover from last week. I'm finding that amazing. Of course, you get fired if you, contradict Il Duce here. Because it's not Il Duce, it's Il Duce. Okay, so you get contradict him, you might lose your job, right? Even though you work for a scientific agency. I mean, that's dangerous enough in this era to work for an agency that deals in science, right?
Right.
But anyway, you know, put all that aside for a second. you brought up something quite revealing because, you know, I want these veterans to finally wake up. I want these military people to begin to snap out of it because, you know, this is the same week that, oh, by the way, all that money that I'm going to have to redirect to the wall, that's coming out of military funding, not for the weapons, not for incursions, but for what? Your
schools.
Kids to go to school, housing, and stuff like this, huh?
Well, and now
that's
Trump's
beautiful.
Saying that he never said that Mexico was directly going to pay for the wall. How many hours of film are there on Trump saying, we're getting a wall, and who's going to pay for it? Mexico.
Yeah. Mexico's going to pay for it. It's going to be such a beautiful wall, and Mexico's going to pay. How many times did we hear that?
Right.
Laughing at it, we were.
Right. Right. And now
even
who's paying for it? Right. But then you got to also look at, you know, the Pentagon is still siding with Trump, still refusing to cooperate with the Democratic committees investigating, you know, their refueling. I don't even know how Jerry Falwell is selling oil to the Pentagon or gas to the Pentagon. Jerry Falwell, I thought it was, you know, he thought he was a Jesus freak. But
well,
all
Liberty
these stopovers,
too, yeah.
You know, yeah, always all these stopovers at Trump's resorts that basically bailed out his failing business in Turnberry. So the Pentagon is refusing to even cooperate. I mean, the Scots say we have the documents on it. So the Scottish people are ready to present the documents proving his deal with the airport. But you have the Pentagon itself. I think that, you know, the best thing that could happen is insurrection inside the military.
Well, you know, that would be nice. But think about this. We are at a point in history where we're thinking. And I got to tell you something. I feel as though there is an element which is often ignored regarding the Kennedy assassination that is revealing, and there is a lot of evidence for, which is the cooperation of the military intelligence branches. Okay, and I mean to tell you that if it were discovered that there were indisputable evidence that it was a military coup in 1963, I would not be surprised. At this point in time, we are almost, I hate to even say this, we're almost in a position of wanting to see this now, as opposed to, you know, we're supposed to maintain civilian control of our government by an elected official and all that, you know, the hyperbole of dreams, Maria, it's amazing. The American dream is just that. It's a daydream, and people need to snap the hell out of it if they think any of this is normal or any of this is going to end well unless somebody ends it very, very soon.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, that's what I say. Let a meteor hit. Even that would be an improvement. But, you know, getting back to 9/11, I got a couple of really good articles from, you know, people whose work I respect, like Roland Morgan, which I interviewed on 9/11. And, you know, he's still fighting for 9/11 truth. We can't, you know, leave that off. But, if people pay attention, you know, the latest was that Roland Morgan put up a whole thing about how those phone calls on 9/11 never happened. I went over that with David Ray Griffin when he wrote a whole book on the fact that the phone calls never happened. So people are still paying attention to that. And, you know, people can go to 9/11 consensus panel. That's their website. But then this morning, someone forwarded to me an article that Paul Craig Roberts wrote. Now, I used to have Paul on my show, and then Paul became a Trump fan. I guess the luster of Trump has worn off on Paul, because now he's not, you know, rah-rah sis boom barring him. But he did write a really good piece on 9/11, which people could see at paulcraigroberts.org. That the official story of the collapse of Building 7 is bullshit. But he goes on, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's two things in here that I wanted to discuss with you, because I wasn't paying attention to, I actually missed one thing on 9/11. He says, most people are unaware of Robert Mueller's role as FBI director in protecting the official 9/11 story from the evidence. So, you know, you look at Mueller's report, you look at when he testified, you know, it was all very tongue-in-cheek. There was nothing definitive. And we've lived in a country of cover-up artists our whole lives, since this country started. That was one interesting part. And the other part that I agree with 100%, because it's basically the same answer I give people when they say, who do you think pulled off 9/11? He goes in, and this is what he says. On the basis of the known evidence, knowledgeable and informed people have concluded that 9/11 was an inside job organized by Vice President Dick Cheney, his stable of neoconservatives, which, by the way, as you know, Chuck, included John Bolton, and Israel. Right. And Israel, for the purpose of reconstructing the Middle East in Israel's interest and enriching the U.S. military security complex in the process. And yet you have Cheney's daughter out there blowing smoke about how great her father is and holding fundraisers for Donald Trump.
No, this is all true. And there's one thing that needs to be remembered here. First of all, two things, actually. Mueller, when people were talking about this guy's going to come out with the truthful report, yeah. I said from the beginning,
I was hopeful.
Do not hold your breath.
Right. I was hopeful, but you were very, yeah, that's not going to happen. And it's kind of the same with, like, Jeffrey Epstein's case. Only the lowest right. people on the totem pole's names will be the ones revealed and the ones taking the fall.
Well, you got it. But I said right then and there, I said, why do you expect somebody to bring you revelations about something that is real when this is the same guy that helped cover-ups in the past? And 9/11 is exactly what I was talking about. That's one. Two, you know what? A lot of people think that there is either, you know, well, because there's the Mossad involved, or there because the Israelis are involved, that means that the Saudi Arabian story is no good. Wrong again. Okay? It makes perfect sense that the Saudis are involved if you have the Israelis involved. And the level of involvement, we can sit and debate and discuss and figure out and sort through the evidence if you like. But here's the thing. Do not discount the fact that right now there is still a debate as to whether it is of national security interest to reveal Saudi names tied to 9/11. Barr had a deadline to meet on the 5th. What did he do? He kicked the ball down the road, didn't he? Kicked that can right down the road. Am I right or wrong, Maria?
Well, that's his specialty, is cover-up. Cover-up Barr.
Well, of course. Another guy.
Right.
Who is there to perpetrate a cover-up? So you know what? Keep these things in mind as news stories emerge and as people are still talking about this. Now, I really appreciate, you know, what Morgan has to say here on this. And it's very solid stuff. I would agree with you. Go read his articles. But also, you know, there's another guy who has come out with a more definitive sort of statement, which I like. And the phrase is really simple. We were lied to about 9/11. That is the thing you need to know, because no matter whose story you believe, even if you believed in the official narrative, you were still lied to about 9/11. You know that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen,
no way.
For anybody that's new to my show, I have to have a minimum of, God, I want to say 100 shows on 9/11 with everybody. I mean, everybody from Roland Morgan, everybody to, you know, David Icke, everybody to Pilots for 9/11 Truth, Firefighters for 9/11 Truth, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. The good thing is, I don't know if you saw it, but in New York, the Firefighters Association is reopening the investigation into 9/11.
Well, and here's the thing. The families of the victims are still 18 years later, pushing for answers, still.
Well, you know, they found some more body parts of a fireman that they had already identified just last week. So they held a second funeral for him from the body parts. I don't even know where they find these things. But, you know, people now are wising up. You see a lot of articles that there's no way those planes took down the Twin Towers. You know, learned people admitting that there were, you know, it looks like explosives went off there. There were proof of explosives. Whether or not it was, you know, a directed energy weapon, who knows? You know, it certainly looks it. You think about those fires in California. It certainly looked like directed energy weapons to me. And when I was on Richie Allen's show this week, you know, I was asked about that. And those were the same answers because, you know, the truth doesn't change. And as we started the show, the truth shall set you free. You may not like the truth. I don't know if you've gotten Donald Jeffries' latest book, but absolutely get it and get him back on your show, Chuck. But this is how this country was founded. It was founded on racism, founded on lies, founded on cover-ups, founded on hiding the truth to the American people. The people we've made heroes of, like Lincoln, were the scum of the earth. And I told Donald, I said, you know what? If somebody would have told me reading a history book would be spellbinding, I would never believe them. But that's the word I use for it. The two-party system... Right, the two-party system was hated way back when. During the days they just began, people in America were against the two-party system because of its limitations, let alone its corruption. So what really has changed?
No, nothing at all. And Survival of the Richest is the last book I read from Donald Jeffries. Did he write a new one?
Yes, he's got one out, Crimes and Cover-Ups in U.S. History, I think the name is, from 1776 through 1963.
Oh, well, you know what? Sounds to me like I'm going to have to get another book.
Well, listen, I started reading David Icke's latest 900-page book on 9/11. It's called The Trigger, which, of course, 9/11 was the trigger. But as soon as I got Donald's book, I just started looking through the table of contents and I had to put the other book to the side. And as soon as I started reading it, literally, I couldn't put it down. And I don't say that about too many books. Okay.
Survival of the Richest.
Oh,
Survival
absolutely.
Survival of the Richest was a great book, though. I got to give him that. And you know, if you're telling me that this is a spellbinding history book, I've got to check it out.
Absolutely check it out. I'm like, holy shit. And when he was on the show, I repeated to him. First of all, his work picks up. You may or not know. I don't think you and I knew each other when Dave McGowan was co-hosting with me.
No, Dave was... Well, he was very ill by the time
Right. Well, you know, one of the last things Dave was working on was the bullshit story of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And I remember telling Dave, you know, if we could send anybody back in time to get the truth, I would want Dave to be the one to enter that time machine, right? But unfortunately, Dave got sick and died before we got to finish that series, before he got to finish his work on it. And what do you think that Jeffries opens up his book with? Pretty much picking up where we left off on Abraham Lincoln. And I told that to Donald. I said, you know, you picked up Dave McGowan's work where he left off. And he, of course, took it as a huge compliment because Dave was one of a kind without question. So I highly recommend it. And of course, Survival of the Richest, I keep telling people, if everybody in this country read that book, we could fix this country in a second, because we'd know where to take our problems to, if you get my drift. So instead of fighting each other over the pennies that the rich leave for the rest of us, we need to take this fight to the rich. They did it during the war, even during the Civil War, with prescription, when they came out with conscription. How the rich were able to pay their way out, even then in the Civil War. And then when people in New York had had enough, well, that's when Gangs in New York, the movie, actually really did happen in history, where the rich were attacked. And the average person said, we're not sending our kids off just because we can't afford $300 to get them off the hook. So when you look at real history, you know, the kind Howard Zinn would write about, you realize, as Dave once said on my show, McGowan, at one point he just blurted out on the show, and it wasn't like Dave to ever use dirty language. It wasn't like he had a Brooklyn mouth like me. But he just got so frustrated at one point, he just yells out on the show, every fucking thing I ever learned was a fucking lie. And he was so upset that I started laughing. So when you really get that America is not what you were taught, it's nothing like what you were taught. You were taught, you know, fairy tales. I think Grimm's brothers had better fairy tales. And everything that goes on today is all deliberate. None of it's ever done by accident. These racists have never let up since they came in and destroyed the Native American race, since they kicked Mexicans out of their own land. And today it culminates in the Donald Trump.
No, absolutely correct. And, you know, it's funny. I had just last night ended my show by saying that I am reminded at this point in my thought process by Maria Heller that you have a nation which has been founded on other people's blood. You have a nation which has been founded on genocide, on violence, on the degradation of an entire group of people, and you should not be surprised.
Well, look at today. Right, look at today, Chuck. These people in the Bahamas got wiped out, okay? They say it's like a nuclear bomb went off. They're trying to get on a ferry to save their lives with just the shirt on their back, because I'm listening to the interviews of these people. And Trump says, yeah, kick them off the ferry. They have to have a visa. These people have, you know, he said the same hateful things about the people in the Bahamas as he said about any dark race. You know, they're animals, they're murderers, they got bad people amongst them. How are you going to possibly show a visa if you just got everything you ever owned blown away?
Well, not only that, but again and again, we are, well, Donald Trump's not a racist. You know, it's funny because only drug dealers and gang members and really bad people that we don't want in this country, you notice they always come from somewhere where people are brown.
Exactly.
You notice it.
Well, didn't he say something to the effect that, you know, he wanted people from Norway or Sweden to come into the United States?
That was a while ago.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, in the midst of this where, oh, and by the way, the Bahamas is not totally destroyed. We're putting people into places where it's okay. You know, it was just hit with a Category 5 hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
And he took $400 million away from the relief he's supposed to give Puerto Rico. Not for the Bahamas, but for his wall.
Which, by the way, there's still people in Puerto Rico 2 years after Hurricane Maria, spelled differently, but Maria,
right?
They're still hurting.
Of course.
The money that he thinks he spent over there, or he thinks that the government spent over there, which, you know, is what, some act of charity? These are citizens of this country.
Well, he doesn't know that.
Whether you want to admit it or not.
He doesn't know that.
So
he said that. He said Puerto Rico had a lousy president. He doesn't even know he's the president. So he's,
yeah, that's hilarious.
Because in a very scary way. Right. Chuck, we need to take a short break. Stay with us, Chuck,
sure.
And I'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water. And, you know, we're trying to keep a little levity in the show, but it's hard to stay up when your anger, your Italian outrage is coming through your skin. And as I tell young people all the time, you know, when they say, why are you always talking about this? You know, why you get so upset? And my answer is always the same, Chuck, because I grew up in a different America than you have. This is not the country I grew up in. Even though the myths were still in place, we bought them, but you can't make a comparison to America before 9/11, the trigger, to today. And people still want to ignore 9/11. You know, they're going to have the same bullshit reinforcement of the official story tomorrow. You could count on that on television and everywhere else. And most people are just going to ignore it and say, well, that happened. Move past it. Why can't you move past it?
Yeah, this has become the historical comfort zone now, right? There's going to be specials all over everything. Talking about, I heard of one thing, they're going to interview some kids who are in a nearby school during the events, and they're going to put together an oral history about that. You know, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be collecting oral histories, and I'm not saying that there isn't a direct need to get people's accounts and all that, but it's all going to be about celebrating the first responders, which, by the way, no matter who you are, I got to tell you that when it comes to firemen running into a tower when it's collapsing, yeah, I've got sympathies for those guys.
They were the only heroes
I sure
day.
Do.
They were the only heroes that day. I said it then, and I said it again and again. And the one thing I want to remind people, Rudy Giuliani, who is another fixer for Trump, had a big part in 9/11. You know, so when he's talking about, you know, this person should be locked up, that person should be locked up, I always post, how about locking up Rudy Giuliani for his part in 9/11? And I don't know if you recall, but I recall it well because, you know, you may or may not know, but I was married to a fireman. I was married to a fireman who had to handle a plane crash at JFK in New York. He spent nights, days there picking up body parts, picking up pieces of people's luggage, trying to bag body parts. He would come home and throw up for hours straight after that. So imagine the firemen at Ground Zero and what they went through. But remember, as soon as they found the gold under the towers, he set the cops on the firemen to clear them off the grounds. And the firemen, one thing I know about firemen, like they said at the time, their motto is, you don't leave your brother behind. And there was a clash between the firemen and the police. I don't know if that video is still on, you know, YouTube, since now YouTube censors everything too. But I totally recall seeing that. So, you know, here's a guy who had a command center that was supposed to be impenetrable. And, you know, I think it was in Building 7. How come he wasn't in his office on 9/11? How come he was commanding 9/11 from an already set up place far away from his office that was like a bunker?
Well, here's another thing to bolster what you were saying. I don't remember seeing those videos on YouTube at all. You know what I recall is hearing it from people I knew, right? Because I'm in New Jersey at the time, and I was part of the supply line feeding water and other supplies to these people because it wasn't available unless we sent it, organized it, brought it to them.
Right.
Water, gloves, pizza, extra pairs of work gloves.
Right.
There were people volunteering there that were former veterans, that were former firefighters. There were active firefighters there. And yes, I remember that clash. That was almost instantaneously. They did not want to leave, and it was just, it was time to, they were brawling with the cops. It was just that simple.
Exactly. Well, the cops and the firemen have never been close in New York. That I can tell you. Even in the small town I lived in.
No, not at all.
They're like, you know, arch enemies. But to me, you know, there are no greater heroes in this country than our firemen. Certainly not the police who, you know, people want to argue with me. And I'm like, get over to killedbypolice.net. They're killing 1,100 of us and more every year.
Right.
And, you know, you know, while everybody's arguing background checks, how about some background checks on these cops? You know, so, you know, listen, we live in interesting times. I mean, yesterday Trump did, you know, the only thing he knows how to do. He handed out some kind of medals or whatever to the cops that stopped that shooting in, where was it, Ohio? Was it Dayton, Ohio? I don't remember. Anyway, he left the mayor, the Democratic female mayor, out of the pomp and circumstance, whatever you want to call the event. And he just said, yeah, not this time. Now, you know, something like that where he could pull the country together or even pretend to, of course she should have been there. And she never really did slam Trump. He just hallucinated like he does with everything else. And then she had to defend herself. But how do you give out medals to the police of a town and leave the mayor out?
Well, you know, just like with John Legend, she didn't praise him enough, if I remember correctly, right? this is the thing. You didn't praise me enough.
Right.
You didn't give me enough credit.
So John, John Legend said, hey, Melania, pay some attention to your husband. He needs it.
Which I thought was hilarious, by the way.
And well, also, I liked what his wife had to say even better. What'd she call him?
A
pussy-ass bitch. And that thing's trending like crazy today. I saw so many memes with that.
Oh, I loved it. I got to tell you, I loved it. And the funny thing is, again, you know, I recall on my show, I used, and I don't usually use this kind of language, but I got angry. And I didn't call him a pussy-ass bitch. I called him a punk-ass bitch. Pretty close.
Right. But once again, he's picking on, of course, he's a racist and a woman hater. He's picking on people of color and women, whether it's Bette Midler, whether it's Deborah Messing. You know, oh, she wants to start a blacklist in Hollywood against anybody that supports me, blah, blah, blah. Well, why not? Okay. It's a free country. Isn't that what we were told? Weren't we taught that in school? It's a free country. But, you know, if he has to stand up to a man, whether, you know, I don't know if I really would call Kim Jong-un a man or, you know, Putin or any other dictator on earth, you know, he might as well have a ball gag in his mouth.
Well, you know, true enough. And when listening to your show the other day regarding this, you know, this judge who can't figure out whether they can adjudicate domesticated violence because there's same-sex couples involved,
right.
Which, by the way, domestic violence has nothing to do with marriage or couples or any of that. It's got to do with people that share a domicile. That means you beat up your roommate. It's domestic violence.
Of course.
So it's irrelevant. You know, equal protection under the law, my ass. Anyway, between that and other places saying that, well, gee, we can't support the idea of interracial couples getting married because it's against their Christian values. You know what the coded language is in there, which I was surprised I didn't exactly hear you say. Maybe I missed it. The coded language is, because you said it's not in the Bible. Well, see, in their minds, it is, Maria. You know why? Because a man is not to lay down with a beast. And that is the bottom line, that someone who is not white is an animal.
Yeah, but hey,
that
you want
to tell they're saying.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Number one, in many states, it's still legal to have sex with animals, okay? And it's usually Republicans getting caught having sex with animals. That's number one. Number two, there are no white people in the Bible.
No kidding.
Right. So while they're arguing, I mean, think about it. Where in the hell, in the Middle East, where Jesus supposedly crept through, where did they find 12 guys with white Christian names? Matthew, Mark, Peter, Luke. Come on. Okay, it was probably more like Mahmoud, Mahmoud, Muhammad, who knows what. If indeed, you know, listen, I've done a lot of stories on that. That never happened. The whole Bible is BS. There's tons of that in my archives. I don't want to get into that discussion. But, you know, if you tell a Christian there's no white people in the Bible and that Adam and Eve were not married, so where did they come off with this? You have to be married before you have sex. There was no marriage of Adam and Eve. You know, they don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. You can't listen. It's like talking to the wall. So I rather not have those discussions with people.
No, I understand, but I think it's important to point out that what the guy is saying when he's using that as a justification is totally delusional on the count you just gave and the count I just gave. Okay, and that is what's interesting, that that's still being allowed to stand. There's a discussion here regarding that?
Right, mixed
in this
marriage.
Country,
seriously. Well, yeah, I mean, look at that baker that didn't want to do a wedding or was a wedding venue about 2 weeks ago. Well, she didn't want to host a wedding for a mixed couple. Okay, I haven't heard the word mixed couple since like 1962. Okay, and I'm like, what? What century are we in? And then only because of pressure from social media, she reneged and apologized. So, you know, if people could just understand who the problem are, watch that show, The Family, on Netflix. And understand that we've been under the control of demons, it's in my opinion, since the beginning of this country, then maybe they would actually be out in the streets like the people over in Japan are by the millions constantly until we overthrow this government, which is our right in the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. You know, this government doesn't serve the people, but the bottom line is it never did.
No, that is all absolutely true, and, you know, it's remarkable to me, though, that this stuff is allowed to stand. Now, in fairness, I think they still use the mixed couple thing on TV in the 70s, because I recall hearing it as a kid, and I'm pretty sure that's where I heard it, was on TV, okay? But, I mean, and I'm wanting to say it was on the Jeffersons, probably, right, in the 70s? Right. I don't know. Look, the point is that this is absolutely ridiculous for a nation that doesn't have a nationality. You understand?
Right.
A nation that, you know, they say American culture, American values. What are they exactly? American culture and American values have been subject to revision. Even though we were founded on awful circumstances, there is still the possibility of redemption because this is a unique place. You want to know why I say that? Every single nationality that has come from somewhere else has been integrated into this. Now, some of them involuntarily, okay, and that would be slavery, sure. There were others who were brought here and, you know, nearly under slave conditions, nearly. There were others who arrived here. Lots of people came here for all sorts of different reasons, but today as we stand, there is nothing in American culture that originated here.
Exactly.
Everything is an innovation from an immigrant of some type.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that we have this long-standing tradition from on high and all this nonsense. And, you know, I'm sick and tired of the Bible debate any longer. The moment that somebody starts to act according to the words that are, you know, printed in red in most Bibles, right, that Jesus allegedly said, and no, I'm not going to get into that argument with you at all because, well, we're going to argue on the same side.
No,
there was no historical Jesus, and that story is... Anyway, point is, if you take it at face value and you believe in it and you do not adhere to the words of the man who is supposed to represent all of it, what are you doing?
Right, okay. And what would Jesus
do? This has been
do?
My question over and over again. And Falwell is hilarious, by the way. You know, that's the son of the guy who wanted to build a water slide for Jesus, if I remember correctly.
Right?
This guy who took over after the other people of prominence in the Christian right in this country fell, you know, after the Jimmy Swaggart, after the Jim Baker thing, after. This is where this guy rose to prominence, and now this is the second generation of Falwell over there.
Right.
Right?
The problem is he doesn't fall. He doesn't fall well at all.
No, he doesn't. Not at all. And that's the thing here, is that these allegedly conservative individuals are not conservative. These allegedly moral individuals are not moral. There has to be a level of sanity and decency that can be attained. And I believe the fact that we do have a very diverse petri dish of cultures, ideas, languages, thought processes, in this country provides us with a unique opportunity. I really believe this, Maria. This is the only reason why I think there's some redemption here.
Right. Well, you know, without the Italians, there wouldn't be any skyscrapers. It was the Italians that it created and invented them. So, people really got to learn real history. But, you know, for my listeners, if you want to, listen, I have a lot of stories and a lot of shows in the archives. One is for The Bible Tells Me To, which is a great one to listen to. You can rent on Netflix a film that will take you less than an hour to watch called The God Who Wasn't There. It will disprove every religion in under an hour. And then I think his name was Ken Humphrey, I don't remember, who wrote a great book, Jesus Never Existed, and I interviewed him years ago. But if you want to stay wherever you're at and not pay attention to that, that's okay too. You know, I just put the information here. So when I tell people, like I did on Richie's show, you know, I consider my site a total education. There isn't a topic I haven't covered. You know, I'm one of the few people that still talks about overpopulation and how we're destroying our web of life. You don't see them talk about that on MSM. They're still arguing over whether climate change is real. It really is an individual choice, but people have to remember on a soul level, you're here to participate, and just not participating or paying attention is a decision. You know, when people say, I never did anything wrong, so I don't have to worry. Well, not doing anything is also a choice. How can any real patriot sit back and not be flipping out over what's happened to this country?
That's the thing that I do not understand, you know. And meanwhile, you're doing something. Do you want to mind if we talk about the website really quickly?
No, go ahead.
Well, you know, you've got one last day because you said up until, or are you going to include 9/11?
I'm including 9/11.
Okay, so you got a little bit of time. When this gets released, listeners of Hell and High Water, I'm going to tell you what. Maria's offering for 2 years. Okay. What is the price for 2 years on your website?
The price for 2 years will be $149, which is the one-year price. Right. And as a matter of fact, because this show will be played at Gary Knoll's network, I will extend that for Gary's listeners until Monday, because my show doesn't air there until Sunday.
Okay.
But I think it's a smoking deal. It'll cost people less than $75 a year to access a college education that belongs on another planet compared to what they're teaching now, and all the new shows. You know, I can't force people to do anything. But I try to make it easier knowing that people are in a lot of financial strife.
Well, right. And here's the thing. I will make this offer to listeners of Hell and High Water only. Ready? If you sign up and you tell Maria that you heard this on Hell and High Water, all right, and it's fine by you, tell her that, and she'll pass along your email. I'll put a year on my website, okay, into the pot. Guess what it'll cost you? Nothing more.
Wow, that's great.
I will do that for free to add it to Maria's offer. Because, look, I have not necessarily completed the archive that Maria has, but I've got one. And it is pretty extensive and pretty diverse.
Chuck, once a month, I back up all my shows to disk, okay? Because I can't afford to lose my body of work. So I put them on DVDs. And I've done that since I started the show. And I believe, and each one has at least 15, some even more, 20 or 25 shows, because I used to do even longer shows. And I think the DVD that I backed up this month was number 265. Okay. So I said, all right, I'll do quick math in my head. I've done over 5,000 shows. Listen, I'd love to have them all posted online, but that's ridiculous. You know, your server can just handle so much before it crashes. But right. I'm very cautious and careful with what I leave there, because what I leave there is history, and it's part of what people really need to know.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Look, I'm going to approach 1,500 shows in 2020. So, as you can see, I'm behind.
That's still a lot.
But look, I didn't start 20 years ago like you did. So, you know, there's more to come. And
I showed it all.
Some of the same.
I told my son where I store all my discs. And I said, listen, when I drop dead, I don't care how you do it. You've got to get all this audio online, all of it. I don't care if you do it in stages or whatever. You've got to put it all up for free everywhere you can online. So I'm, you know, I've already passed that along because I told him there will come a day when people will listen and they'll say that Maria Heller knew what she was talking about. She warned us. She told us what we could do. And who was she? She must have been a genius. But that's not the reason. I want my body of work out there for eternity.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's exactly where it deserves to be. But for now, while Maria is still alive and kicking, you need to get in on this. If you're listening,
I'll still...
I'm telling you, it's that simple.
Right.
You have no problem forwarding to me the people, so if they sign up,
no, that'd be my pleasure. Are you kidding? Thank you so much. That's a great idea. And I could do the same for you one day, I'm sure, when the Maria Heller Show becomes the Chuck O'Chelly Show.
We shall see when we get there. But for today, this is where we're at, right?
Absolutely.
So I wanted to get that out there. And how much time do we have left?
We don't. We're out of time. I have to keep this to radio time. But Chuck, I mean, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about in 2 weeks. Chuck will be back on the show on the 24th. So God only knows what we'll have to discuss between now and then. But Chuck, thank you so much. And again, everybody, there's less than five people left. Less than five people left that are telling you the truth. Chuck is one of them. Support his work too. Help us help you. Okay? Tell your friends about it. Tell your friends what you learn. And if you just get them to think, even if they get pissed off, at least you know you touched a nerve and they're still alive.
That's right.
You know, we are living in interesting times indeed. But we don't have to sit back and take it. Chuck, thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you, Mom.
Love you, too. Take care. Ocelli.com. I have a live link right here. Check it out. Chuck does great work, same as Richie Allen does, same as Richie Grove does. I don't know. I think that's my whole list. So anyway, thanks for listening and welcome to the show to the new listeners. You got a lot to do. I do like the note I got from Vito. He subscribed 2 days ago. He says, I'm downloading like crazy. And remember, you can all download these shows so you can save them for posterity, so you can post them. Not right now, okay? Because people really need to understand that you need to support the truth. And as we started the show, the truth shall set you free. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next time, guys.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.